going to speak a little about the word come tonight. I'm partial towards it, perhaps because it's something very simple to understand. And, I think of the word go, maybe a shorter word, but it's a very commanding or commanding word, go. Now, I know it can have a good sense too, but the word come, sometimes a little critical of the English language, because in preaching the gospel, it's sometimes they don't have the words to convey the warmth of the love of God in salvation. As I always said about the English language, shouldn't be too hard on it, but the only language I speak, but it's a good language, a trade language, good for selling commodities and that, but in describing something, it's sometimes lacking, but not so in the word come. It's a simple word that we can all understand. I'm going to read tonight the first occasion where we read that in the Bible, then I'll show you the later on, the last time we read the word come, and it's very fitting where we find it. Now, it's found in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 7, please, in verse 1. Genesis 7, and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now that's a very sweet place to find it. Here we're living in a day. We look back a little further back in the Bible. We find that Adam and Eve have sinned against God. They realize that and they're hiding from the Lord. The Lord wants to have fellowship with him. He can't have fellowship with the animals. He has to have fellowship with his own, made after his own image. And we find that because Adam and Eve listened to the devil, came under his influence, we find that they sinned against God. And you know, the devil might have questioned that and said, well, you know, the devil is very sly. He's very cunning. He's a great deceiver. And he can't be trusted. He's a liar from the beginning. And we know that he came in to destroy the beauty of God's creation. The garden that God had designed, that everything was there for man's benefit, for man's enjoyment. It was a wonderful place to be. There was nothing of a threatening nature in it. There wasn't all the things that we have to contend with in our present garden. But we find that as a result of it, that Adam is thrust out of it and runs and hides himself among the trees. And God comes to seek him, but he doesn't invite him back. You won't find the word come there. You see, once sin has come in, sin is rebellion. Sin is an opposition to God. And that garden became a desert. If you go over there right now and try to find the location, exactly where the Garden of Eden was, you would most likely find a jungle, a desert condition, uninhabitable, certainly nothing that we find here. And if we look at it in Genesis, the beautiful garden that God had designed for man's benefit, for man's pleasure. But we find that after Adam left and the curse came upon the earth and the wickedness of man exceeded, where they had to say concerning mankind that the very imagination of the thoughts were only evil continually. Now, this description of mankind is that we are told here that there was nothing that he could think of righteously. He didn't have a correct or a good thought. His thoughts were only to do evil. And God looks down upon this whole society of evil, and it says, you know, sin is contagious, it's infectious. And soon, of course, the whole habitable mankind is going to destroy itself. And I will say, though, the one thing they didn't have that we have now, because I'll get to that later, is that they were not idol worshippers. We never read of idolatry prior to the flood. But we do read that man is just a big party sphere, had no respect for no one, including God. And therefore, God tells us that he could not find anyone, anything there that he could enjoy, no pleasure. Except we find in Noah that here's a family that God is able to communicate with who wants to obey God. Now we trust in our little message tonight that there are those who have an ear for God's word who will listen to what God has to say. And we find that Noah certainly was one of them, and he listened to what God had to say in his instructions, and he built himself an ark. Now we come to the point where we got the word come. Come. And so that, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. You see, the wickedness of man had reached the point that God was going to deal with them in judgment. But he wants this family, Noah, the righteous one, one who listened to God, brought into the ark of safety. And so the time comes when he says, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Now he had already brought all this animal creation into it, as he was told to do. And I think of that large door. Trying to get a little description of the ark. That large door, I know it was large because elephants were in there, and zebras and all these different creatures were brought into the ark, and then Noah's told to come in, and the door was shut. But usually I think of, when I think of the ark, I think of God telling them what to do, and they're all in there, and then God shuts the door. But you know, I think the Lord, from what I would read here, that the Lord was in the ark. You know, that's very important to me. We find all these animals like living in a giant-sized zoo, and those few people to be in that ark. And yet I think everything was harmonious there. I think there was a very joyful time to be in that ark. I believe it's a type of coming day when Israel, what there's left of Israel, you know how things are in Jerusalem now, what's going to worsen, and destruction is going to come upon Israel, but there will be a remnant, and they will go through that terrible tribulation. Now that tribulation is after the Lord comes, and man is left to his own destruction, being coming under the influence of the Antichrist, and he's left to his own ways. And we know the terrible time that will come upon the earth. But the Jews will go through, and they're a type of Noah, when he goes through that flood, see all around them. When the door was shut, everything broke up. The storm that they had never known, the violent storms, the wild storms, came upon the people that were outside of the ark. Now those that were in the ark, they were in that place of safety. They were in a place of enjoyment. They had the fellowship of the Lord. Now, I remember when I was first saved, I valued a place of safety. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, I was happy that I was in a place of safety, but I didn't realize the warmth of the fellowship of the Lord until, you know, sometime later. But I believe they enjoyed that. When they were in that ark, they were with the Lord, and everything was in harmony. I don't believe that the lion was saying, I'm the king of the jungle, you got to listen to me. Or the elephant said, I'm the biggest person here, and if I trample on somebody, what's going to happen? I believe there was a unity there, and it's a type of the coming day when they... when that terrible tribulation period is over, and this wicked world is dealt with, and then it's cleansed, and the Lord Jesus is coming to reign, and we read of 1,000 years of millennium time of enjoyment, when the Lion and the Lamb will no hostility there. Everything in harmony and unity upon the earth. Now, I know that we are not just in relation to that, we're in relation to Enoch. He walked with God, and he was not. The Lord took him. And we are waiting for that. But in this ark was that place of safety, certainty, and enjoyment. That was the place to be. It was not the place to be outside of that ark. That was a storm of judgment that God was bringing upon those people. And what a shock it was to them. And you know it's going to be a shock when God's judgment begins to deal with people. And those who are not in Christ Jesus, those who are exposed to wrath and judgment, they will be found in a place of destruction. They'll be found in a place of where you can well imagine, though those people have been brought up, it was a rather prosperous country. They had enjoyed a great deal of prosperity. A little reminder of what we're facing right now, a prosperity like the world has never known before. that we enjoy this, and the shock of it coming to an end. Oh yes, they made fun of Noah. They couldn't see how possibly a rational person would build such a huge structure up in the dry land. And after all, those people had never seen rain. And now as the storms came down, the rains came down, and the very floods, the earth came up in the chaos that was a result of that. And we know that all the people that were not in the ark, they were destroyed. Now, only those who are in Christ Jesus are in that place of protection. And so we get this word, come, the answering to God's desire. The Lord tells them to come. As we look a little further in the scriptures, we're going to find that word used a lot. The Lord Jesus used a lot. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, that's for rest. Rest, not just a little rest like you think of, but a rest eternally. Rest in fellowship. Rest in the enjoyment with the Lord. And I'm going to turn to the last place where it's found, and that's in Revelation. The word come. And we'll find that it's used a great deal more here. That first time is the first time in the Bible where it's used only once in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. We turn to Revelation chapter 22, and we'll find it at least seven times. I haven't counted to be exact. But we read in Revelation 22, and we'll just pick up a few of this word study here. Verse 12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Behold, I come quickly. Now drop down to verse 17, and we'll find it a few times here, I think at least three times. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hear say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So we find that little word come once again a number of times here. But we haven't still reached the point where we're finding it for the last time in the Bible. We've got to drop down a little further. Read verse 20. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Now here's the last time. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Now what I find in that is of everyone who knows what it is to come to the Lord Jesus for salvation and find safety and salvation in the Savior, their desire is that the Lord will come. We're not satisfied with this scene. Sin, sickness, and death in every hand. There's always something to disappoint, to sour life. And so we're looking for that time when the Lord Jesus will come and we will be with him eternally. And oh, what a glorious day that is. You know, we get so accustomed to this harsh society that we live in, we can hardly understand what heaven's going to be like. But as we think of that glorious place, that the Lord is going to be there. Remember I said the Lord was in that ark? I believe that. The Lord was in the ark, and therefore they could have the harmony, enjoyment. It wasn't, it was only a temporary situation, we know. But heaven is a permanent condition. And we are looking forward to that glorious day to be with the Lord Jesus forever. But we read here that, even so come, Lord Jesus. You know, that's the desire of everyone who knows the Lord. Now, this is going to be a test for you tonight. Are you prepared to say, even so come, Lord Jesus, this very night, this very hour, I'd like the Lord to come? Now, you've got to be prepared. You've got to have a time, as Graham has been reminding us, you have made a decision. You've made that right move. You've said yes to the Lord Jesus. You're no longer going to be following the devil or under the influence of the world, the flesh, or the devil. You'll turn to the Lord Jesus for salvation. Now, where do you find it? At the cross. Now, we know the Lord Jesus is not in Bethlehem, as Graham was suggesting earlier, the news of salvation, and he's not on the cross. The Lord Jesus is in heaven. But we have got to go back to the cross, because it's there the Lord Jesus provided salvation for us. He provided that place of safety. He provided a place that he could invite us to come unto him for salvation, to be with him eternally. So while you're sojourning on this earth, and we're on a journey, as these men that he's been mentioning is on a journey, and we're going to a destination, but has there been a time when you came in answer to the Lord to come to him? Now, we'd like to get the warmth of that message. That's a joyful message. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be when from sin our hearts are pure and free. Well, you can know tonight to have your sins put away, cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Salvation provided freely. I think of that little word, come for rest. State of Alabama in the United States, they got its name by a woman, Indian woman, Native woman, come charging out of a forest on fire. Her clothes and her hair was on fire, and she ran and jumped in the river, and she yelled out, Alabama. Now, what the Indian word means is, here I rest. And this is for the sinner. Your clothes on fire. You're in a dangerous place. This world is under condemnation. It's under judgment. The only place of safety is in the Lord Jesus. So you come to Him and you say like the Indian woman, Alabama, here I rest. I rest in Christ. Now you don't come to an organization. You don't come to some church group. You may hear the gospel there. If you're fortunate, there are many places that are not preaching the gospel. There are cults of all different descriptions and that. But it's coming to Christ. He is the way of salvation. And our desire tonight, there may be someone who has ears to hear. They're not like that crowd in Noah's day. There was no desire at all. Their imaginations were contrary to God. They were only evil continually. But we're desirous that there may be someone. You realize that there's judgment coming. You realize that as a sinner, you deserve to be punished. And the Lord Jesus took that punishment. Now that's a simple message. I deserve the eternal death. I deserve the judgment and go down to hell, a place I don't want to be and I will not be, because I have found a place of safety in the Lord Jesus. And I have come. I have answered that word. I understood the word come. It's a very simple word. And I came. How did I come? Did I dress myself up and make myself look good? No, I came as a sinner. That's important for you to understand tonight. Some people think, well, I have to improve myself. I have to reform. Now that may be true, because I did go through that, a certain amount of reform in my life, but that was not salvation. That was looking within for salvation. That was trying to do something. You don't find salvation by looking within. Now you don't find it by even looking around. Where do you find salvation? You find it by looking up, looking to the Lord Jesus. I like that verse in Isaiah 45 and 22. Look unto me and be ye saved to all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is none else. Well, friend, tonight, we want you to have the best. We don't want you to die in your sins. We don't want you to go down to hell. We want you to be with the Lord eternally. We want you to have the joy now. Now, I know that some Christians have been faced with a lot of problems. I even was in a place recently where they had been burned at the stake for their faith. But on the whole, the Christian pathway. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. There's a joyfulness about it, even as we go through this scene, waiting for the glorious day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But we want you to have this gift. We want you to have salvation. That's why this meeting is arranged tonight. That the sinner, realizing that his sins deserve death, deserve punishment, by the Lord Jesus died on the cross. He died for my sins. He bled and died that I might have eternal life. And now you have to, what did they do in Noah's day? They had to enter through the ark. They had to go into that door. Now, if they stood back and began to say, well, yeah, it's a good idea, maybe, but not now, some other time. Now is the accepted time. Always keep in mind, you don't wait until the door is closing and then make a rush for it. That is too late. Once the door is closed, it's closed fine forever. There's no more salvation. We read of those who stood at the door and knocked, Lord, Lord, open unto us. The door was shut. And this is why we want to be urgent tonight, closing part of our meeting, that don't put it off. Once the door is over, the door is closed, the Lord Jesus is that door. Have no doubt about that. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You enter through that door, but once the door is shut, no more salvation. The Lord Jesus comes for His own, to take them out of this world, to be with Him for Himself forever. There'll be those who are on the outside. Oh, that I had only entered in. In Noah's day, if I'd only been in that place. They saw that great giant ark, that ship rising up in the water. And they're heading for the mountains. They're heading for higher heights. They're heading for protection. But it's too late. Oh, why did I not listen? Why did I not listen to Noah as he preached about salvation, about safety in the ark? But no, they ignored him. And now it's too late. Now, we don't want this to happen to you. We want you to respond to God's love. We want you to hear His word. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I hope there's something in these words, these verses, that's going to reach your heart tonight. That you will not put it off until it's too late. You will not make excuses for yourself. Like even when Paul preached in the glorious gospel, we'll hear you again, Paul. Yes, I'll hear you some other time. Yes, there was those who almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. Then there's those who are on the outside knocking. We want to enter in, but it's too late. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put off things till tomorrow. We have no guarantee what the morrow will bring. Now we'd like to speak to the Lord in prayer before singing another hymn about the word tongue. Now we thank Thee, our God and Father, as we think of this glorious gospel going out throughout the whole world, not limited to a few people in British Columbia or any other part of Canada, but it goes into all the world, and there's those who will hear this very day, and they will come. They will come in all their sins, they'll come with all their rags, and they'll put their trust in the Lord Jesus. They'll get that new robe, they'll get that ring upon their finger, and shoes upon their feet, and oh, what a glorious day. As we anticipate the coming of our Lord Jesus, we say, even so come, the Lord Jesus. But for those who are in the meeting who have never trusted the Savior, we trust that they'll not leave it off any longer. But this will be the day of their salvation. This will be the happy day when Jesus wipes their sins away. We ask these things, giving thanks in the Savior's name. Amen. Now we're still on the word come. It's in number 22. Come is a sweet invitation of grace. Come unto Jesus, the soul's resting place. Come for His sufferings, for sinners is done. Come for the Father's well pleased in His Son. First verse and course only, and the meeting will be over. Thank you.